You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, Alan. How's my baby?
Hey, Josh. I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm sorry that you bit your tongue earlier and you have a boo-boo on your tongue.
I bit my tongue days ago and it it's swollen so bad that it still hurts my S's.
See, this is what happens when you skip the high holidays, huh? Yeah. Wow. That's right. You need to stick with me this fall. And God will put you into the book of life without a bitten tongue.
Well, I am so sorry.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for listening and for supporting the show. Not to be a broken record, but check us out at www.patreon.com/Josh Swallows Broadway. Because of you, we had a season 3. And because of you, we have a season 4. Very exciting. Anyway, today is one of my oldest friends coming on the show. She's an incredible casting director and an incredible human. And I'm so excited to share with you like an inside look at what a casting director does, because they don't just put you in the pictures, you understand. All right, Alan, are you ready to play the music?
Only if I get a part in Billions.
Done. You're in the pictures. Now all play right. The music. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Josh Swallows Broadway. I'm so happy that you all have been listening to the show and supporting the show. You all mean so much to me, but you don't mean as much as one of my closest, dearest friends. We basically started our crazy journeys together. And I don't know, maybe if you've watched Billions, the other two, Mass, maybe you liked Dallas Buyers Club, Pitch Perfect, The Help, one of my favorite films, Compliance. This extraordinary woman cast those films and TV shows. That's right, bitches. I've got one of the biggest casting directors in the world and in my heart here on the show. Welcome to the show, Allison Estrin.
Well, that was like the greatest introduction I could ever ask for.
Right? Yeah. I've been planning it and working on it all week.
That was good. I could tell. It was beautifully rehearsed. However, also felt like it was coming out for the first time. So...
And with that said, we're going another way.
Yeah. I mean, it was good. No, don't get me wrong. It was very, very good. But yeah. we're looking for something a little different, another type.
But we loved him. We loved
him, and we will bring him back for something else later.
Story of my life, a little triggering. Hi, friend. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I love
it's
you so much.
It's my pleasure.
Now that we just had another snow day up here, it reminded me of the first night that we officially met.
A huge snowstorm.
Your roommate at the time, Eddie, is married now, but was dating one of my best friends, Tony, and they drove me from Washington Heights to Sunnyside, Queens in the middle of a blizzard. And when the door opened, I saw the most beautiful, angelic person I've ever seen in my life, cozied up on the couch, and we just fell in love.
That is correct. I mean, because I wasn't going to get out and drive up to Washington Heights to meet you. So you definitely had to come to me.
That would never happen these days. And I'd be like, you want me to go where?
Yeah.
A blizzard? No.
No. No. Now we would just get on a Zoom.
At the time, you were an actress, which I love.
We can use quotes. You know, when my claim to fame was a dead body on Law and Order SVU, I think we can definitely use air quotes for my acting days. I also was, of course, in the Vagina Monologues in Brooklyn, at the Galapagos base in Brooklyn. I believe that definitely solidified the end to an illustrious acting career.
Wasn't there like a bunch of like, didn't some artists make a bunch of fake vaginas and put them on trees or something?
No, they weren't fake.
Theater?
They were real. I can't believe you're going to make me tell this story.
No, you don't have to. We can have a safe word. Our safe word is Brexit. If you need to use it.
It was just a very immersive vagina monologues, I think is the best way to say that was... Oh my gosh.
No, your headphone flew off.
This is like how much I'm not used to doing, this sort of thing.
Podcasts.
Podcasts, even like, I try not to Zoom auditions. I'm not into any of that.
Yeah, Zooming is the worst. Zoom auditions are the worst.
Zoom auditions are the worst. They are the worst. We can jump right into this if you want, but I think that self-tapes and Zoom auditions are not here to stay. It's a controversial thing to say. I know that there are other casting directors that are liking it. I know some producers like it. I think it's hell. I think it's hell for me. I think it's hell for the actor.
I think it's also hell for like agents, because like I'm wanting them to like find me work, and they are, but at the same time they're watching hundreds of self tapes every day, so it's like how much time is going into that?
Absolutely. Well, and then sometimes they're not watching them, or they're just giving notes and that sort of stuff. When they, you know, it's none of it. No one is doing the job that they are supposed to do. Actors mm-hmm. are not tech people. They are not supposed to, you know how to find lights and cameras and all of that stuff. And actors shouldn't have to self-direct themselves. They're actors. You know, that's why you have me. It's just such a absolutely ridiculous part of the process that I am praying goes away. Soon.
Oh, me too, my friend. But I will say that out of all of the casting directors that I've gone in for, you're one of my favorites because you're so lovely and kind and supportive, and like the whole like you want the person to book the job, or you want them to do great. You know, it's
yes. I feel like that's the secret that I always wish every actor understood, is that casting directors really do want the actors to book the job. I mean, first and foremost, because my job is done when you book the job. And I usually have 100 roles to cast in a short period of time. So if you come in and you're amazing, done. Great. I can move on. And you're amazing. How exciting. So I love that, but also it's just, I wouldn't do my job if I didn't think that actors were incredible. And so seeing incredible auditions and getting to support that, like that is the most fun part of my job. And then, you know, getting to make that call. And I mean, I rarely get to make the call to the actor, but even just being a part of that and, you know, their dreams are coming true. And it's such an incredible thing that gets to happen when people start to book one job and the next. And I mean, it's a really exciting part of the process. Obviously it also sucks to say no and to hear about all the no's, that sucks too, but we'll focus on the good.
Yeah. So what made you go into casting?
Oh, I needed a job.
I love that it started with like an I had a dream.
No. Going back to I was a dead body on Law and Order. I needed a job. And I was staying on the couch of our friend that we just discussed, Eddie. I was staying on his couch and his other roommate at the time was a casting director and for Broadway shows. And she kind of like get off my couch. Do you want to like be a monitor for big dance calls? Which, like, you know, for all of my very specific type of indie film casting, I am a musical theater nerd, as you know. And so the idea of getting to spend my day watching a bunch of, you know, dancers and learn the combinations and sing and, you know, all of that stuff. Like, I was like, yeah, I want to do that. Little did I know that I would like also get like yelled at when I first walked into the room and didn't know how anyone was supposed to fill out their forms or anything like that, but I learned. But you know, dancers can be intense when you're doing that wrong. Equity got called on me. It was a whole thing.
Wait a minute. So the dancers would yell at you?
Well, yeah. I mean, because I didn't know what I was doing. I learned.
But yeah, but
I definitely was like thrown in the deep end and was like, oh, I'm just, oh, okay. You know, people have their schedule. They got there at like 7 o'clock in the morning. They want their time slot and all
sure,
of that.
Sure.
It's like, okay, great. But I learned and I got hired from just being a monitor and stuff. They had an assistant job open there, and I became a full-time casting assistant for Broadway musicals. But pretty quickly learned that I had no clue like what a high C was, or like if someone was doing like, you know, a certain dance, I'm like, they're kicking high. That seems good. Like, but I did know if someone was doing a good job in their scene, and I knew how to, you know, make them better at that scene. Mm-hmm. And we did do a couple of straight plays there as well. So the wonderful casting director, Jack Bowden, who I worked with, noticed that I was better at that and kind of started pulling me into those rooms. When we were doing Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and Journey's End, and just, you know, wonderful Inherit the Wind. We were doing really wonderful plays that he was like, just come in and be in these auditions. This is clearly more your thing.
You were part of some of the most like profound theater experiences that I've ever had. Journey's End, Gypsy with Patti LuPone. Are you kidding? I saw it
Gypsy
so many times.
Gypsy was probably like the one that solidified that I absolutely wanted to do this for a career and how and why I wanted to, because I was able to create a great relationship with Arthur Lawrence, which was a gift beyond gifts to me. I know that, you know, he scared the shit out of a lot of people, but he was always remarkably kind to me. And I think mainly just because I really wanted to hear everything he had to say. He had a really, really strong vision, and I wanted to hear everything about that vision, and I wanted to help make it come to life. And I had always been such a huge fan of Gypsy from the time I was a kid. It was one of the first musicals I saw, and I loved it. And I was a huge Natalie Wood fan, of course, because, you know, I'm human. I just like drank it all up and just felt so blessed that he like talked me through everything. And, you know, it was especially the casting of the strippers that was like the most exciting thing to me, because he wanted it so different than how it had always been. Mm-hmm. And I remember him saying to me like, Allison, like they're just, it shouldn't be like three hot women. Like it's not like three women who are 24. Like, and he's like, these women have like been through it. And he's like explaining it all to me. And I'm like, yes, like this makes so much sense. And I love it. And I just loved that vision of it, that it just, it helped me get so much ownership over the whole process.
Yeah.
And just working with him is, I think, what helped create my love of working with directors and understanding like what that process was. And I loved it. And that was actually the last thing that I worked on at Binder Casting before I moved into film and TV.
Yeah. Do you remember the actress who played Elektra?
Elektra was
stole the show for me. She was so brilliant.
Oh my God, don't.
That was so long ago. Well, whoever they
I remember Lenora Nemitz played Mazeppa.
Yes, absolutely.
Was and it Melinda? Allison... Was it Melinda? Oh. We're going to have to like later do a correction of this because I'm going to feel so awful that I am like, because what's also funny, and this does happen to me, is that sometimes I remember people's auditions so much more than I often remember the final product. So like I could sit here and tell you like at least three or four women that I know auditioned for Elektra, but I'm like, was it? Is that who we like? But I remember so vividly, like those women who auditioned for it are women that I often still bring in and cast to this day because it meant so much to me.
It was Marilyn Caskey.
Marilyn Caskey.
Incredible.
Ugh. Very good.
Incredible.
Glad you just look that up quickly because I didn't.
Get it.
Well, there was another casting director recently said to me, she's like, isn't it incredible how many people we know in this world? It's so much more than normal people know. And I'm like, yes, that is correct.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
I think it's why I'd be terrible at what you do, because my memory is so bad. Like I remember faces, but if I see them in something, I'm like, oh, I saw you in that. Oh, right. You were terrific. Like they're just, it's so different when you meet them in person and you know, you do know bazillions of people.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. But you know, then I'm also still so excited to meet more and more and more.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, you know, I'm at this point, I think I've, you know, cast everyone in New York on Billions besides you, but we have time.
There's still time. The office needs a jester. The office needs a jester.
But I mean, Billions at this point is like, you know, you can go to the Broadway program and look it up like Law and Order and see like everyone has done an episode. I mean, that show employs a lot of New York people.
Amen. Thank God. Thank God. And so many incredible people. My beloved Sarah Stiles and Daniel, just all those wonderful, wonderful people.
Yeah.
So what brought you into like film and TV? What was like the main difference, I guess, between like theater casting to like, oh, now you're casting feature films?
I mean, for me, I think one of the things that I always found really frustrating about casting theater, it was having to do all of the replacement casting. Mm. I think it's a really interesting thing. I think it's a really, really hard job to do. But something that I really love about film and TV is that you cast one person and what they do, that's it. Unless it's like Bewitched or something. or, you know, Roseanne, and you like can switch out a character halfway through. Sure. But normally there's just that one person that does it. I love that. I love that whole process. And it is a very different process. And it's also just a different, you know, style of acting that is a little bit more my style of acting.
Sure. Sure. Now, I guess because so many people don't really know what the day-to-day is of being a casting person, like, tell me about your life. Tell me about your job. Like, what is it like when you, I know it's COVID times, but like,
right, it's a little, right. I mean, right, in a non-COVID times, you know, a day usually consists of auditions. You know, at a busy period, it can be, you know, in the morning I'll do auditions for one project, in the afternoon auditions for another. And then in the middle of that is the kind of the constant talking to the agents and negotiating deals and, you know, that fun part of the process that everybody loves so much. And, you know, sometimes the sessions will have the directors with them and sometimes not. And so then it's, you know, figuring out who we want to send. And then another part of a day is always figuring out the next day or like 3 days ahead, because it's figuring out who, it's looking through all the breakdowns and figuring out who we want to bring in for each project or who we want to make an offer to for every project. And I don't always, I mean, I look at all the breakdowns, but I don't only count on breakdowns. You know, I also have like my list in my head of, I want to make sure that I see so-and-so and so-and-so for this project. Yeah. So that's normally what it comes down to. And then of course, like if we're in production, there's always some crazy madcap thing that's happening that day that we get a call from a AD or producer saying something has switched and you got to switch every schedule around for the next week. And
wow,
all of that nonsense.
That's amazing. So like, if somebody comes to you with a project, what's the first step? Like, is there like an audition process for you or?
Oh
like-
yeah. I mean, not always. And I count myself very grateful for this, that there are times that, you know, at this point I have a group of producers and directors that I just work with on a regular basis that will just say like, okay, here's my next thing. Look at the script. And so then, in that case, I'm usually the first one hired, first one to look at the script and then start talking out ideas about who to make the first couple of offers to. But in other situations, you know, a network or a studio or a producer could call me and say, like, we have the script. Would you be willing to sit down with the director? Do you have any interest in this or something like that? And so, you know, there are definitely like, certainly for Inventing Anna, I work a lot with Henry Russell Bergstein, and Henry and I absolutely had to go and meet Shonda and go through that whole experience, which it was like a pleasure that even if we had not gotten it, I would be like, remember when I sat down with Shonda Rhimes? That was so cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm obsessed with that show so much. Yes. My favorite line is, Anna Delvey's a masterpiece, bitches. Like, I want it to be my ringtone.
There are a lot. Oh, I'm sure you can make that happen.
What was working on that like?
It was great, actually. Like, I mean, it was crazy because we started it and had already been working on it for a couple of months, and then the pandemic happened.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So we went down while like in the middle of filming, and it was already going to be a huge epic, you know, we went to multiple countries and it's multiple episodes and every episode has like a million characters and all of these. I mean, everything was huge about that show. Mm-hmm. And so we went down and then we were one of the first shows back because we had a window because Julia Garner's also on Ozark. So we had a window that we had to then go back in. And to be one of the first shows back at that point during COVID was pretty scary. You know, I feel like at this point, everybody's kind of gotten used to how it all works, but this was a very different situation where we were having to ask people if they were comfortable with going back. There was, I mean, far from having a vaccine. Everybody was getting tested constantly. You know, it was scary. And then we also went from doing a million auditions in person to all of a sudden every audition was a self-tape. And again, this was before everyone had figured out how to do all of the self-tapes the way that they are now. So some of them are like, God bless everyone who put themselves on tape for us during that time. I mean, they're reading with their like moms and grandmothers and like in, you know, in basements and, you know, animals running around, babies crying, whatever. And we're just like, thank you, thank you, thank you for doing this. So there was definitely like a learning curve for all of that. But then it was also really awesome to see, like, you know, for all of, I don't know how far you've gotten into the series yet. Okay. So there's a great episode where we see a lot of like behind the scenes going on at the hotel that she was staying at. And we see like all of the different people, and we had actors who, you know, were auditioning for the chef. And so they like got themselves in the kitchen and all set up, and like everyone was just like going for it because it was kind of at a time where we were like, well, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to do this. So it really ended up great. But it's funny to have like half a cast of all people we had in the room and, you know, knew like that. And then the other half of like, oh, I have not met that person in real life. But I'm very excited, like, to see what they're doing with it.
Yeah.
But that was we ended up going like months longer because, you know, COVID made everything happen longer.
Yeah.
So we worked on that for well over a year. Well, wow. Over. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I think it was about a year and a half.
I love the woman who's the prison guard with like the glitter eyeshadow.
Her role is glitter eyeshadow. That's the name.
Stop it.
That's the name of the role.
I love her so much. I want to hug her. I want to be her friend. I want to be in prison.
All of the Rikers Islands. I love that you said that. This keeps falling and I'm so sorry.
I know,
sorry.
It's hilarious. No, it's okay. Thank you for the apology though. No, it's great.
This is what you get when you borrow your boyfriend's setup.
Oh, I love him. He's wonderful, by the way. Happy He's Valentine's wonderful. Day.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So like, I'm so mind blown by what you do, because it's like you have to put together a giant puzzle basically from scratch. Like you read a script and then you're like, I know, here's a list of like 20 people that could do each of these things. Like, I respect you so much. I wish I had that kind of brain.
I mean, some of it is a taught thing and then some of it isn't, you know, some of it is just kind of a naturally, like, my mom told me that like when I was a kid and we were, you know, when I would like be upset when the school play like would post its list of who was going to play what, that I wouldn't just have like a strong opinion over what I was playing. I just had crazy strong opinions over who everyone was playing and like what that meant. And like that, like she said, like that, like I obnoxiously talked about it. Like it obviously didn't occur to us then that like, oh, she should be a casting director, because like, you know, it's only recently that I think people understand like that it's a job. But the amount of times people still say to me when, you know, when I ask what I do, I say casting director, they're like, oh, so you pick who goes in the movie. And I'm like, I guess that's a way to put it. I like to say that I'm more like Tim Gunn.
That's so perfect and so true.
Where like I can help curate a great group, and then I can really work with and give advice and advocate for everyone. It is up to you as the actor or designer if you want to take that advice. In the end, I am not your final judge. I am the person that talks to the final judges and gives my opinion and shares my experience with them, but I am not the final person. I'm so much more the advocate than I think people think of as a casting director. They like how they think that we could possibly just be like, yeah, you get to go to set. I mean, okay.
Yeah. First of all, I love that you're our Tim Gunn. You are Tim Gunn. You're my Tim Gunn.
I'm totally Tim Gunn.
I feel like a lot of people get very confused and think that like, oh, you're a casting director, you could put me in the pictures.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's not really like how that works.
No, there was one time that, so in the other two, which you mentioned, Henry Russell Bergstein and I cast that together, and Henry appears in the pilot as a casting director. which, you know, was not hard casting, but was still a discussion. We had still, you know, we actually had audition actors, and there was an actor that was going to do it, and he had to drop out for a family emergency at the last minute. So I was like, okay, let's have Henry do it. That's fun. But then like a couple episodes later, there was a voiceover that I was like, well, I kind of want to do this. And I never, ever even try, but I was like, it's a voiceover, I can do that. I put myself, you know, on tape, on did a voice recording. They did not choose me.
No.
Did not choose me.
I'm going to boycott the show and have a candlelit vigil at midnight tonight until they redo the
episode. But you know what? I was much happier to get those other actors' jobs, and you know, they're wonderful actors, and that's great. But I was like, I'm gonna do this one. This one seems really fun for me.
Oh, and then you were like, so, this is why I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Like, not only can I not get other people jobs, I can't get myself one, so no.
Do you also get, like, a lot of weird, like I don't know, like, letters you know, like, what are some of the weirdest ones? Please. I know you get some gems.
I do. But I'm not the only one. And I think the thing is, you know, I am friends with other casting directors and managers, and we do sometimes from time to time send them around. I don't want to make fun of what anyone does, but I will say, like, people do make some very odd choices of what they think they should send. I mean, we never ever need pictures of anyone in various states of dress.
No,
never ever do we want that. No matter how good you look, we don't want that. But I also like have gotten things of like, I really just, you know, love riding my horse. And like, there'll be like a whole long page about like riding their horse and what that does for them. And I'm like, why am I getting this? why am I receiving anything about a horse? You know, or some, you know, sometimes it's just like people where it's like so clearly like a fill in the blank. Of like, I really respect the work you do on blank. And then it's, you know, I'm like, oh, okay. And they've like maybe filled in billions, but like clearly have never like watched the show or, you know, like, I think I could be a really great fit for this. And they're like, you know, a little girl who's like dressed like Wednesday Addams. And I'm like, in what world, how are you a good fit for billions? Like, look, I do 10 other things. Pick a different show.
If you could give advice to actors that are just starting out and struggling, especially with like getting their foot in the door or even trying to get an agent, what would your advice be?
Well, I think the first advice I would give right now, especially, is if there is anything else in the world that you love doing, you should like riding horses, then you should do that, because it is so hard. Being an actor is so, so, so hard. What you guys do, how you put yourselves out there. I truly have the utmost respect for being able to do what you guys do and wake up every day and just put in the work, which is just usually a remarkable amount of work. It kills me. So if truly, if there is another thing that you're like debating between of like, well, you know, I also really love biochemistry, do that. Because there are a lot of actors who like both acting and biochemistry.
Hey, I would be like, if I could do biochemistry, I would be living in Hawaii in the lab.
Right?
With a hot husband and some horses.
And some horses.
The horse letter was me.
So I do, you know, I do think that if there is other things, but understanding that for most of you that have just heard me say that, you're like, well, there's nothing else. So if you get to the point where there's nothing else, and acknowledging that right now with COVID makes it even fucking harder than it did before. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, before there was a time where I would say like, well, you're in New York, go do a play, like get together with a group of people and like, you know, figure out how to perform something so that people can come see you. Well, that's impossible right now. Like, yeah. You know, people are kind of starting to do it a little bit, but it's definitely very, very hard. But I have really respected the people who have kind of transitioned that into making their own short films and their own work like that, and still trying to figure out how to do that. Because I think even if it's not something that I end up seeing or that other people, you know, that like, you know, wins an Academy Award for short film or something, things beget other things. Like and knowing people and working with people and continuing the community, especially in New York City, is to me how people always end up getting jobs. Word of mouth is huge.
Yeah.
You know, it's also why I say like, go, and if there's a possibility to do like an NYU or a Columbia or whatever, you know, student film, you should do that. Because you're also just, you know, actors can't rehearse the way a musician can. And acting is a muscle that you do need practice. You do need to keep going. And, you know, you can't just sit and, you know, the way that you can just like play the violin until you get perfect. You cannot do that as an actor without being on a set, being on a stage. Like, you need other people for it. So my biggest advice would be really looking toward your community and how you all can create something together. Mm-hmm. Because you never know like who that person in that group is. Maybe they have an agent that sees it and it's like, hey, who was that girl in that? Like, I really liked her. or, you know, the amount of times I've worked with a first-time director who says to me, like, you know what, this role, I really want it to go to the person that was in my thesis film because they just really like stepped up for me. And I think they're great. I've met wonderful actors that way. Really, really wonderful actors because they were in someone's thesis film. So I think those would be kind of my advice.
Yeah.
But it's also acknowledging that everybody has a different path. Mm-hmm. There is no one way to do it. Everybody has their own journey. You know, just like I could sit here and say like, oh my God, do not send me an email about your horse. Well, maybe someone else, some other casting director read that and was like, well, I got this email about this horse, this girl who could ride a horse, and I was casting a movie about that, and that's what I needed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really, really love what you said about, you know, making your own work and putting yourself out there and finding your community. Because a part of why I want to be an actor at all is because it is my community.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I don't feel like I belong anywhere else. I don't belong with other people who aren't like you and me and our friends. And this is the world that I always wanted to be in. And the same thing with like every agent I ever got was because they saw me doing something that their client was in.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
And not that it was easy. I went for years without having an agent. And I have friends that reach out right now and it's heartbreaking because they're like, could you talk to your agent or something? And I'm like, I could, but here's the thing. Everybody is out of work. Every agent is trying to get their current roster working. Nobody's really taking on a lot of new people.
It's a remarkably hard time for that. It really, really is. Now, that being said, there is a lot of work right now, which is really exciting. And I think because there was like a backlog of things that, you know, had to get finished. And then there really is like an insurgence of new things. So there is work to be had. But I think you are correct that, you know, at this point, like agents and actors went so long without the work. So it makes sense to me that an agent is saying like, well, I do need the people that I already have to be getting the work so that we get back. Everyone just needs to get, because the thing is like when the pandemic hit, like we were at like an all-time high of the amount of work happening. So many people were like, it was bustling. It was just really bustling. So it's just a matter of like how to get back to there.
That stupid headphone keeps popping out. I'm so sorry. I blame Craig.
I would blame Craig.
Yeah, he's
I think it's also like I smile too much.
And the smile pushes it out.
It's exactly what's happening. So yeah, that's why that keeps happening. You keep making me smile.
Oh, shucks. Well, I'm really, really proud of you. I'm proud of all that you've done.
I'm proud of you. You're amazing.
Thanks. You inspire me constantly. You always keep it real, but you give it with love. You put light into the world, into people's lives. And
thank you.
You know, I'm just
so
grateful. Thanks, friend. Gosh, I don't want to count how many years we've been friends, but I hope we remain friends for the rest of our lives because you're a special, special human. Thank you so much for coming on to the show today and giving my world a little look into what it's like to be one of the best casting directors in the world.
Anytime. It's my pleasure.
I love you.
I love you.
And thank you all so much for listening to another episode of Josh Swallows Broadway. We love your support. Thank you so much for everything. You can continue to support us at www.patreon.com/JoshSwallowsBroadway. We're closing up season 3 soon, but then we'll have season 4, and it's all because of you. So thank you all so much. Much love and goodbye. Josh Swallows Broadway is produced by Alan Seals, Dory Berenstein, and myself, Josh Lehman, with associate producer Elizabeth Wheelis. And special thanks to our Patreon producers, David Rimmer and Josh Harris. You can join them. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/JoshSwallowsBroadway. Leave a rating. Leave a review. I read them. This is how I continue living. Help me live. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for keeping Broadway alive, and swallow you soon.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.